How do I get rich? When I'm asked, where did I learn my formula for getting rich? I reply, playing the game of Monopoly as a kid. Some people think I'm kidding, and others wait for the punchline, expecting a joke. Yet it is not meant as a joke, and I'm not kidding. The formula for getting rich in Monopoly is simple, and it works in real life as well as in the game. 4 greenhouses, 1 red hotel. You may recall that the secret to wealth when playing Monopoly is simply to buy 4 greenhouses and then trade them in to buy a large red hotel. That is all it takes, and that is the same investment formula for wealth my wife and I used. When the real estate market was really bad, we bought as many small houses as we could with the limited money we had. When the market improved, we traded in the 4 greenhouses and bought a large red hotel. We never have to work because the cash flow from our large red hotel, apartment houses, and mini storages pays for our lifestyle. Doing what rich people do is easy. One of the reasons there are so many wealthy people who did not do well in school is because the to-do part of becoming wealthy is simple. There is a classic book I recommend you read, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I read this book as a youngster, and it greatly influenced the direction of my life. In fact, it was my rich dad who first recommended that I read this book, and others like it. There is a good reason why it's titled Think and Grow Rich and not Work Hard and Grow Rich or Get a Job and Grow Rich. The fact is, people who work the hardest do not wind up rich. If you want to be rich, you need to think. Think independently rather than go along with the crowd. In my opinion, one great asset of the rich is that they think differently from everyone else. If you do what everyone else does, you'll wind up having what everyone else has. And for most people, what they have is years of hard work, unfair taxes, and a lifetime of debt. When someone asks me, what do I have to do to move from the left side of the quadrant to the right side? My response is, it's not what you have to do that needs to change. It's first how you think that needs to change. In other words, it's who you have to be in order to do what needs to be done. Years ago, I was in a class on goal setting. It was the mid-1970s, and I really could not believe I was spending $150 on a beautiful Saturday and Sunday to learn how to set goals. I would rather have been surfing. Instead, here I was paying someone to teach me how to set goals. I nearly backed out several times, but what I learned from that class has helped me achieve what I want in life. The instructor put up on the board these 3 words, be, do, have. She then said, goals are the have part of these 3 words. Once most people figure out what they want to have, their goal, they begin listing what they have to do. That is why most people have to-do lists. They set their goal and then begin doing. She discussed investments, saying, many people think that buying stocks or mutual funds will make them rich. Well, simply buying stocks, mutual funds, real estate, and bonds will not make you rich. Just doing what professional investors do does not guarantee financial success. People who have a loser mentality will always lose, no matter what stock, bond, real estate, or mutual fund they buy. Next, she used an example of finding the perfect romantic partner. So many people go to bars or to work or to their church looking for the perfect person. That is what they do. What they do is go and look for the right person instead of working on being the right person. Here's one of her examples about relationships. In marriage, many people try to change the other person so they can have a better marriage. Instead of trying to change the other person, which often leads to fights, it is better to change yourself first, she said. Don't work on the other person. Work on your thoughts about the other person. As she was talking about relationships, my mind drifted to the many people I had met over the years who were out to change the world, but were not getting anywhere. They wanted to change everyone else, but not change themselves. And when it comes to money, she said, many people try to do what the rich do and to have what the rich have. So they go out and buy a house that looks rich, a car that looks rich, and send their kids to the schools where the rich send their kids. All this does is cause these people to do by working harder and to have more debt, which causes them to work even harder, which is not what the truly rich do. My rich dad did not use these same words, but he did often say to me, people think that working hard for money and then buying things that make them look rich will make them rich. In most cases, it doesn't. It only makes them more tired. They call it keeping up with the Joneses, and if you notice, the Joneses are exhausted. During that weekend class, much of what my rich dad had been telling me began to make more sense. For years, he lived modestly. Instead of working hard to pay bills, he worked hard to acquire assets. If you saw him on the street, he looked like everyone else. He drove a pickup truck, not an expensive car. Then, one day, when he was in his late 30s, he emerged as a financial powerhouse. People took notice when he suddenly bought one of the prime pieces of real estate in Hawaii. After his name hit the paper, it was then people realized that this quiet, unpretentious man owned many other businesses, lots of prime real estate, and when he spoke, his bankers listened. Few people ever saw the modest house he lived in. After he was flush with cash and cash flow from his assets, he then bought a new large house for his family. He did not take out a loan. He paid cash. After that weekend class on goal setting, I realized that many people tried doing what they thought the rich did and tried having what the rich had. They often would buy big houses and invest in the stock market because that is what they thought the rich did. Yet, what my rich dad was trying to tell me was, if they still thought and had the same beliefs and ideas of a poor person or middle-class person, then did what the rich did, they would still wind up having what the poor and middle class have. Be, do, have began to make sense. Time Warner Audiobooks presents Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, written by Robert T. Kiyosaki with Sharon L. Lecter, CPA, and read by Jim Ward.
Hello, my name is Robert Kiyosaki. I am the author of the Rich Dad Poor Dad book series. Rich Dad Poor Dad is a true story about my two dads, one my real dad and one my best friend's father. My real dad was a smart, highly educated man, at one time the head of education for the state of Hawaii. In my book, he was my poor dad because regardless of how much money he made, he was usually broke at the end of every month. My rich dad was my best friend's father. Although he started out his life without any money, he wound up being one of the richest men in the state of Hawaii. When you look at the white sand beaches, the blue ocean, the tall palm trees, the hula girls, and the tall hotels, Rich Dad owned the land under some of those hotels. The Rich Dad book and audio series reveals the lessons on money, careers, and business that my rich dad taught me, contrasted to the lessons my poor dad taught me. For many people, reading the simple stories gives them insights into the lessons about money they learned from their own parents, often saying such things as, "I had a poor dad," or "My dad sounded very much like your rich dad." This program, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, is about a very important icon or diagram that my rich dad used to educate his son and me about money, investing, and choosing a career path in life. Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant is about the four different people or cast of characters that make up the world of money, business, and investing. The Cash Flow Quadrant is about the differences between the E Quadrant, which stands for employee, the S Quadrant, which stands for self-employed or small business owner, the B Quadrant, which stands for business owner, and the I Quadrant, which stands for investor. Years ago, when I was just a boy, my highly educated dad, the man I call my poor dad, often said to me, "Son, go to school, get good grades, so that you can get a safe, secure job with excellent benefits." My rich dad, on the other hand, said, "If you follow your dad's advice, you'll wind up in the E quadrant. It's okay to be in the E quadrant if what you really want in life is job security. But if you want to be rich, the E quadrant is the hardest quadrant to become rich in." The reason my rich dad said that was for many reasons, which are found in this book. The result of my rich dad's advice and the use of the cash flow quadrant changed my choice of career path and the direction I took once I was old enough to decide what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. As you may have guessed, I did not follow my poor dad's advice and look for job security in the E quadrant, nor did I go into the world of self-employment or small business, also known as the S quadrant. Instead, I used my rich dad's advice and the cash flow quadrant and chose to enter the B quadrant, the quadrant for business owners, and the I quadrant, the quadrant for investors. So who is Rich Dad's quadrant for? My answer is that it is for anyone who is familiar with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and is now ready to make some changes in their life, changes that may require a change from one quadrant to another. As you listen to this program, you may soon discover that the four people in the four quadrants are four totally different people. As you listen to and read this book, you will find that the four people found in the four different quadrants are different mentally as well as emotionally. You will also find that it is the emotional differences that play a much more important role in determining which quadrant a person ultimately gravitates to. For example, a person who is in the E quadrant is often motivated by the need for security. A person found in the S quadrant is often motivated by the need for independence, wanting to do things on their own, not relying on others. So this program goes into the differences between each of the four quadrants. As I said, it is for anyone looking for some kind of change in their life, either professionally or financially. This program does not imply that one quadrant is better than the other. It does, however, stress, as my rich dad stressed, that each of us should choose a quadrant or quadrants that best suit our own core values, personal beliefs, and future dreams. I use my rich dad's cash flow quadrant as a guide to find my own true self and the life's path that was best for me. This audio program has been created to serve as your guide to the future and your own personal self-discovery and to unlock what is important to you in your own life.
The path I recommend. I am often asked by people on the left side of the quadrant, what path would you recommend? I recommend the same path my rich dad recommended to me. The same path that people like Ross Perot, Bill Gates, and others took. The path goes from E, employee, to B, business owner, and then to I, investor. Or from S, self-employed, to B, business owner, and again to I, investor. I occasionally receive this complaint, but I'd rather be an investor. To which I reply, then go to the I, investor quadrant. If you have plenty of money and lots of free time, go straight to the I, investor quadrant. But if you don't have an abundance of time and money, the path I recommend is safer. In most cases, people do not have an abundance of time or money, so they then ask another question. Why do you recommend the B, business owner quadrant first? There are two reasons. First, experience and education. If you are first successful as a B, business owner, you will have a better chance of developing into a powerful I, investor. If you first develop a solid business sense, you can become a better investor. You will be better able to identify other good Bs, business owners. True investors invest in successful Bs, business owners, with stable business systems. It is risky to invest in an E, employee, or an S, self-employed, who does not know the difference between a system and a product, or who lacks excellent leadership skills. The second reason I recommend the B, business owner quadrant, is cash flow. If you have a business that is up and running, then you should have the free time and the cash flow to support the ups and downs of the I, investor quadrant. Many times I meet people from the ES quadrants who are so tight on cash they could not afford to take any kind of financial loss. One market swing and they are wiped out financially because they operate financially at red line. The reality is, investing is capital and knowledge intensive. Sometimes it takes lots of capital and time to gain that knowledge. Many successful investors have lost many times before winning. Successful people know that success is a poor teacher. Learning comes from making mistakes, and in the I, investor quadrant, mistakes cost money. If you lack both knowledge and capital, it's financial suicide to try to become an investor. By developing the skill of becoming a good B, business owner, first, you will also be providing the cash flow necessary to move on to becoming a good investor. The business you develop as a B, business owner, will provide the cash to support you as you gain the education to become a good investor. Once you have gained the education to become a successful investor, you will understand how I can say, it does not always take money to make money. The good news is, technology has also made it easier to be successful in the B, business owner quadrant. Although it's not as easy as just getting a minimum wage job, the systems are in place now for more and more people to find financial success as B, business owners. The kinds of business systems. In moving to the B, business owner quadrant, remember that your goal is to own a system and have people work that system for you. You can develop the business system yourself, or you can look for a system to purchase. Think of the system as the bridge that will allow you to cross safely from the left side of the cash flow quadrant to the right side. Your bridge to financial freedom. There are three main types of business systems commonly in use today. They are traditional C-type corporations, where you develop your own system, franchises, where you buy an existing system, and network marketing, where you buy into and become part of an existing system. Each has its strengths and weaknesses, yet each ultimately does the same thing. If operated properly, each system will provide a steady stream of income without much physical effort on the part of the owner. Once it is up and running. The problem is getting it up and running. In 1985, when people asked, why were you homeless? Kim and I simply said, we were building a business system. It was a business system that was a hybrid of the traditional C-type corporation and a franchise. As stated before, the B, business owner quadrant, requires a knowledge of both systems and people. Our decision to develop our own system meant a lot of hard work. I had taken this route before, and my company had failed. Although it was successful for years, it suddenly went broke in its fifth year. When success came to us, we were not ready with an adequate system. The system began to break down, even though we had hard-working people. We felt like we were on a good-sized yacht that had sprung a leak, but we could not find the leak. All of us were trying to figure out where the leak was, but we could not bail water fast enough to find the leak and fix it. Even if we found it, we were not certain we could plug it. Rich Dad's cash flow quadrant is about being, not doing. Moving from the left side of the quadrant to the right side of the quadrant is not so much about doing, but more about being. The good news is that it does not cost much money to change your thinking. In fact, it can be done for free. The bad news is that sometimes it's hard to change some deep core thoughts about money that are handed down from generation to generation, or thoughts that you learn from friends, from work, and from school. Yet, it can be done. And this is what this recording is primarily about. It's not so much a how-to book on what to do to become financially free. It's not about what stocks to buy or what mutual fund is safest. This program is primarily about strengthening your thoughts, being, so that you can take the action, doing, that will enable you to become financially free, having. For people contemplating making the crossing from one quadrant to another, an important part of the process is to be aware of your internal dialogue, or conversations within you. And always remember that what sounds logical in one quadrant does not make sense in another quadrant. The process of going from job or financial security to financial freedom is primarily a process of changing your thinking. It is a process of doing your best to know which thoughts are emotion-based and which thoughts are logic-based. If you can keep your emotions in check and go for what you know to be logical, you have a good chance of making the journey. No matter what anyone is saying to you from the outside, the most important conversation is the one you are having with yourself on the inside. That is why my rich dad forbade me from saying, "I can't afford it. I can't do that. Play it safe. Don't lose money." Rich Dad firmly believed that what we said to ourselves at our core became our reality. That is why I suspect that for people who struggle financially, their emotions often do the talking and run their lives. If they are emotionally based thoughts, they are powerful. The good news is that they can be changed with the support of new friends, new ideas, and a little time. People who are not able to control their fear of losing should never invest on their own. They are best served by turning that job over to professionals and not interfering with them. As an interesting note, I have met many professional people who are fearless when investing other people's money and able to make lots of money. But when it comes to investing or risking their own money, their fear of losing becomes too strong and they ultimately lose. Their emotions do the thinking rather than their logic. I have also met people who can invest their money and win constantly, but lose their calm when other people ask them to invest money for them. The making and losing of money is an emotional subject. Rich Dad always said, "To be successful as an investor or business owner, you have to be emotionally neutral to winning and losing. Winning and losing are just part of the game." The laws. Understanding the laws and market forces is vital to financial success. Great transfers of wealth often occur when laws and markets change, so it is important to pay attention if you want to have those changes work in your favor and not against you. We are entering an era of tremendous change and opportunity. For some people, it will be the best of times, and for others, it will be the worst of times. Education is more important than ever before, but we need to teach people to think a little further than just looking for a secure job and expecting the company or the government to look after them once their working days are through. That is an industrial age idea, and we aren't there anymore. The rules have changed. One advantage of living in a free society is the freedom to make choices. In my opinion, there are two big choices: the choice of security and the choice of freedom. If you choose security, there is a huge price to pay for that security in the form of excessive taxes and punishing interest payments. If you choose freedom, then you need to learn the whole game and then play the game. It is your choice from which quadrant you want to play the game. In 1943, the U.S. began taxing all working Americans via payroll deduction. In other words, the government got paid before people in the E, employee quadrant, got paid. Anyone who was purely an E had little escape from the government. It also meant that instead of only the rich being taxed, which was the hope of the 16th Amendment, it now meant everyone on the left side of the quadrant got taxed, rich or poor. But the lowest paid in America today, pay more in taxes as a percentage of total income than the rich and the middle class. In 1986, the Tax Reform Act went after the highly paid professionals in the S quadrant. The act specifically listed doctors, lawyers, architects, dentists, engineers, and other such professions, and made it difficult, if not impossible, for them to shelter their income the way the rich can do in the B and I quadrants. These professionals were forced to operate their businesses through S corporations instead of through C corporations, or pay a tax penalty. Income for these highly compensated professionals is then passed through the S corporation and taxed at the highest individual tax rate possible. They don't have the opportunity to shelter their income through deductions allowed to a C corporation. And at the same time, the law was changed to force all S corporations to have a calendar year end. This again forced all income to be taxed at the highest rate. When I was discussing these changes recently with my personal CPA, she reminded me that the biggest shock to newly self-employed people generally comes at the end of their first year when they realize that the biggest tax they are paying is a self-employment tax. This tax is double for the S's over what they paid as E's, and it is calculated on income before the individual can deduct any itemized deductions or personal exemptions. It is possible for a self-employed person to have no taxable income yet still owe self-employment tax. Corporations, on the other hand, do not pay self-employment tax. The 1986 Tax Reform Act also effectively pushed the E's and S's of America out of real estate as an investment and into paper assets, such as stocks and mutual funds, basing their future financial well-being upon paper assets subject to the ups and downs of the market. After the 1986 Tax Reform Act, the rich continue to earn more, work less, pay less taxes, and enjoy greater asset protection by using the formula my rich dad gave me 40 years ago. Build a business and buy real estate. Make a lot of money via C corporations, and shelter your income through real estate. While millions upon millions of Americans work, pay more and more taxes, and then pour billions each month into mutual funds, the rich are quietly selling the shares of their C corporations, making them even richer, and then buying billions in investment real estate. As we progress further and further away from the industrial age and into the information age, we all need to continue to gather information from different quadrants. In the information age, quality information is our most important asset. As Eric Hoffer once said, in times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. Remember that everyone's financial situation is different. That is why I always recommend that you seek out the best professional and financial advice you can find. For example, while a C corporation may work well in some instances, it does not work well in all instances. Even on the right side of the quadrant, occasionally an S corporation is appropriate. Also, remember that there are different advisors for the rich, the poor, and the middle class, just as there are different advisors for people who earn their money on the right side and on the left. Also consider seeking advice from people who already are where you want to go. Never do business or investing for tax reasons. A tax break is an extra bonus for doing things the way the government wants. It should be a bonus, not the reason. And if you are not a U.S. citizen, this advice remains the same. Our laws may be different, yet the principles of seeking competent advice remain the same. People on the right side operate very similarly throughout the world. Are you financially free? If you have come to a financial fork in the road and you want to take control of what you do today in order to change your financial destiny, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant will help you chart your course. Each of us resides in at least one of the four quadrants of the cash flow quadrant. Where we are is determined by where our cash comes from. Many of us rely on paychecks and are therefore employees, while others are self-employed. Employees and self-employed individuals reside on the left side of the cash flow quadrant. The right side of the cash flow quadrant is for individuals who receive their cash from businesses they own or investments they own. Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant is about the four different types of people who make up the world of business, who they are, and what makes individuals in each quadrant unique. It will help you define where you are in the quadrant today and help you chart a course for where you want to be in the future as you choose your own path to financial freedom. While financial freedom can be found in all four of the quadrants, the skills of a B, business owner, or an I, investor, will help you to reach your financial goals more quickly. A successful E, employee, should also become a successful I, investor. This program is the second in the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series. For those of you who may not have listened to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, It was about the different lessons my two dads taught me about the subject of money and life choices. One was my real dad, and the other my best friend's dad. One was highly educated, and the other a high school dropout. One was poor, and the other rich. Whenever I was asked the question, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" my highly educated but poor dad always recommended, "Go to school, get good grades, and then find a safe, secure job." Poor dad was recommending that I choose to become either a high-paid employee or a high-paid S, self-employed, such as a medical doctor, lawyer, or accountant. My poor dad was very concerned about a steady paycheck, benefits, and job security. My rich but uneducated dad, on the other hand, offered very different advice. He recommended, "Go to school, graduate, build businesses, and become a successful investor." This audio program is for people who are ready to change quadrants. It is for people who are ready to move beyond job security and begin to achieve financial security. It is not an easy life's path, but the prize at the end is worth the journey. It is the journey to financial freedom. Rich Dad told me a simple story when I was 12 years old that has guided me to great wealth and financial freedom. It was Rich Dad's way of explaining the difference between the left side of the cash flow quadrant, the E, employee, and S, self-employed quadrants, from the right side, or the B, business owner, and I, investor quadrants. It goes, "Once upon a time, there was this quaint little village. It was a great place to live, except for one problem. The village had no water unless it rained. To solve this problem once and for all, the village elders decided to put out to bid the contract to have water delivered to the village on a daily basis. Two people volunteered to take on the task, and the elders awarded the contract to both of them. They felt that a little competition would keep prices low and ensure a backup supply of water. The first of the two people who won the contract, Ed, immediately ran out, bought two galvanized steel buckets, and began running back and forth along the trail to the lake, which was a mile away. He immediately began making money as he labored morning to dusk, hauling water from the lake with his two buckets. He would empty them into the large concrete holding tank the village had built. Each morning, he had to get up before the rest of the village awoke to make sure there was enough water for the village when it wanted it. It was hard work, but he was very happy to be making money and for having one of the two exclusive contracts for this business. The second winning contractor, Bill, disappeared for a while. He was not seen for months, which made Ed very happy since he had no competition. Ed was making all the money. Instead of buying two buckets to compete with Ed, Bill had written a business plan, created a corporation, found four investors, employed a president to do the work, and returned 6 months later with a construction crew. Within a year, his team had built a large-volume stainless steel pipeline which connected the village to the lake. At the grand opening celebration, Bill announced that his water was cleaner than Ed's water. Bill knew that there had been complaints about dirt in Ed's water. Bill also announced that he could supply the village with water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ed could only deliver water on the weekdays. He did not work on weekends. Then Bill announced that he would charge 75% less than Ed did for the higher quality and more reliable source of water. The village cheered and ran immediately for the faucet at the end of Bill's pipeline. In order to compete, Ed immediately lowered his rates by 75%, bought two more buckets, added covers to his buckets, and began hauling four buckets each trip. In order to provide better service, he hired his two sons to give him a hand for the night shift and on weekends. When his boys went off to college, he said to them, "Hurry back, because someday this business will belong to you." For some reason, after college, his two sons never returned. Eventually, Ed had employees and union problems. The union was demanding higher wages, better benefits, and wanted its members to only haul one bucket at a time. Bill, on the other hand, realized that if this village needed water, then other villages must need water too. He rewrote his business plan and went off to sell his high-speed, high-volume, low-cost, and clean water delivery system to villages throughout the world. He only makes a penny per bucket of water delivered, but he delivers billions of buckets of water every day. Regardless if he works or not, billions of people consume billions of buckets of water, and all that money pours into his bank account. Bill has developed a pipeline to deliver money to himself as well as water to the villages. Bill lived happily ever after, and Ed worked hard for the rest of his life and had financial problems forever after. The end. This story of Bill and Ed has guided me for years. It has assisted me in my life's decision-making process. I often ask myself, am I building a pipeline or hauling buckets? And Am I working hard or am I working smart? The answers to those questions have made me financially free, and financial freedom is what this program is about. I've divided this program into three sections. In the first part, I will explore the differences between people in the four quadrants. The next section is about personal change and identifies whom you have to be instead of what you have to do. The last section of this program will define the seven steps that you can take on your path to change. Along the way, I will share more of my Rich Dad secrets and help you choose your own path to financial freedom. When I was in high school, my rich dad told his son and me that he had lost a company when he was in his 20s. That was the best and worst experience of my life, he said. As much as I hated it, I learned more by repairing it and eventually turning it into a huge success. Knowing that I was contemplating starting my own company, Rich Dad said to me, "You may lose two or three companies before you build a successful one that lasts." He was training Mike, his son, to take over his empire. Because my dad was a government employee, I was not going to inherit an empire. I had to build my own. Rich Dad always said, "We learn the most about ourselves when we fail, so don't be afraid of failing. Failing is part of the process of success. You cannot have success without failure. So unsuccessful people are people who never fail." Maybe it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, but in 1984, the company that went down was my third company. I had made millions and had lost millions and was starting all over again when I met Kim. The reason I know she did not marry for my money is because I did not have any money. When I told her what I was going to do, build company number four, she did not back away. "I'll build it with you," was her reply, and she was true to her word. Along with another partner, we built a business system with 11 offices worldwide that generated income regardless of whether we worked. Building it from nothing to 11 offices took 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears, but it worked. Both dads were happy for me and sincerely congratulated me. They had both lost money in my previous experiments at starting companies. When my rich dad began teaching me about becoming a B, business owner, there was only one kind of business. That was big business, a major corporation that usually dominated the town. In our town in Hawaii, it was the sugar plantation that controlled virtually everything, including the other big businesses. As I started high school, we began to hear about a thing called franchises, but none had come to our little town. We had not heard about McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Taco Bell. They were not a part of our vocabulary while I was studying with Rich Dad. When we did hear rumors about them, we heard they were illegal, fraudulent scams and dangerous. Naturally, upon hearing those rumors, Rich Dad flew to California to begin checking franchises out rather than believing the gossip. When he returned, all he said was, "Franchises are the wave of the future," and he bought the rights to two of them. His wealth skyrocketed as the idea of franchises caught on, and he began selling his rights to other people so they could have a chance at building their own businesses. When I asked him if I should buy one from him, he simply said, "No. You've come this far in learning how to build your own business system. Don't stop now. Franchises are for people who do not want to build or do not know how to build their own systems. Besides, you don't have the $250,000 it takes to buy a franchise from me." The way I learned to become a B, business owner, was by being an apprentice to my rich dad. His son and I were both E's, employees, learning to be B's, business owners. And that is the way many people learn. It's called on-the-job training. This is the way many closely held family empires are passed on from one generation to the next. The problem is, not too many people are privileged or lucky enough to learn the behind-the-scene aspects of becoming a B, business owner. Most corporate management training programs are just that. The company only trains you to be a manager. Few teach what it takes to try to be a B, business owner. Often people get stuck in the S, self-employed quadrant, in their journey to the B, business owner quadrant. This happens primarily because they do not develop a strong enough system, and so they end up becoming an integral part of the system. Successful Bs, business owners, develop a system that will run without their involvement. How to learn to become a B, business owner. There are three ways you can make it to the B, business owner side quickly. You can find a mentor, buy a franchise, or develop network marketing. My rich dad was my mentor. A mentor is someone who has already done what you want to do and is successful at doing it. Do not find an advisor. An advisor is someone who tells you how to do it but has not personally done it. Most advisors are in the S, self-employed quadrant. The world is filled with S's trying to tell you how to be a B or an I. My rich dad was a mentor, not an advisor. One of the biggest tips my rich dad gave was, Be careful of the advice you take. While you must keep your mind open, always be first aware of which quadrant the advice is coming from. My rich dad taught me about systems and how to be a leader of people, not a manager of people. Managers often see their subordinates as inferiors. Leaders must direct people who are often smarter. A traditional way of learning about systems is to get your MBA from a prestigious school and get a fast-track job up the corporate ladder. An MBA is important because you learn the basics of accounting and how the financial numbers relate to the systems of a business. Yet, just because you have an MBA does not automatically mean you are competent to run all the systems that ultimately make up a complete business system. To learn about all the systems necessary in a big company, you'll need to spend 10 to 15 years there, learning all the different aspects of the business. You should then be prepared to leave and start your own company. Working for a successful major corporation is like being paid by your mentor. Even with a mentor and/or years of experience, this first method is labor-intensive. To create your own system requires a lot of trial and error, upfront legal costs, and paperwork. All of this occurs at the same time you're trying to develop your people. How to become a successful business owner and investor. Most of us have heard the saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I would like to modify that statement a little. Instead, I would say, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a baby step. I emphasize this because I have seen too many people attempt to take the great leap forward instead of taking baby steps. Long-term financial success is not measured in how big your stride is. Long-term financial success is measured in the number of steps, in which direction you're moving, and in numbers of years. In reality, that is the formula for success or failure in any endeavor. When it comes to money, I have seen too many people, myself included, attempt to do too much with too little, and then crash and burn. In other words, you go from baby steps to walking and then to running. This is the path I recommend. For people who want to be successful in the information age, the faster they begin to develop their financial intelligence and emotional intelligence, the faster they will feel more financially secure and find financial freedom. Today, when people say, "Don't work hard, work smart," they do not mean work smart in the E or S quadrants. They actually mean working smart in the B or I quadrants. That is information age thinking, which is why financial intelligence and emotional intelligence are so vital today and will be vital in the future. So what is the answer? Obviously, my answer is to re-educate yourself like a rich person, not a poor or middle-class person. In other words, to think and look at the world from the B or I quadrant. However, the solution is not as simple as going back to school and taking a few courses. To be successful in the B or I quadrant requires financial intelligence, systems intelligence, and emotional intelligence. These things cannot be learned in school. The reason these intelligences are hard to learn is because most adults are wired to the hard work and spend mode of life. They feel financial anxiety, so they hurry off to work and work hard. They come home and hear about the stock market going up and down. The anxiety grows, so they go shopping for a new house or car, or they go and play golf to avoid the anxiety. The problem is that the anxiety returns on Monday morning. People often ask me how to get started thinking like a rich person. I always recommend starting small and seeking education. If people are serious about learning and retraining themselves to think like a rich person, I recommend my patented board game, Cash Flow. I created the game to help people improve their financial intelligence. It gives people the mental, physical, and emotional training required to allow them to make the gradual change from thinking like a poor or middle-class person to thinking like a rich person. Cash flow, not money, relieves anxiety. Financial struggle and poverty are really financial anxiety problems. They are mental and emotional loops that keep people stuck in what I call the rat race. Unless the mental and emotional hooks are broken, the pattern remains intact. I worked with a banker a few months ago on breaking his pattern of financial struggle. I'm not a therapist, but I have had experience in breaking my own financial habits instilled by my family. The banker makes more than $120,000 a year, but is always in some sort of financial trouble. He has a beautiful family, 3 cars, a big house, a vacation home, and he looks the part of a prosperous banker. When I looked at his financial statement, however, I found he had a financial cancer that would be terminal in a few years if he did not change his ways. The first time he and his wife played cash flow, he struggled and fidgeted almost uncontrollably. His mind was wandering, and he could not seem to grasp the game. After 4 hours of play, he was stuck. Everyone else had completed the game, but he was still in the rat race. So I asked him as we put the game away what was going on. His only answer was that the game was too hard, too slow, and too boring. I then reminded him of what I had told him before the game started, that all games are reflections of the people playing. In other words, a game is like a mirror that allows you to look at yourself. That statement angered him, so I backed off, and I asked if he was still committed to getting his financial life in order. He said he was still committed, so I invited him and his wife, who loved the game, to come and play again with an investment group I was coaching. A week later, he showed up, reluctantly. This time, a few lights began to go on inside his head. He still did not finish the game after 4 hours, but he was beginning to learn. As he left this time, he invited himself back. By the third meeting, he was a new man. He was now in control of the game, his accounting, and his investments. His confidence soared, and this time he successfully exited the rat race and was on the fast track. This time, as he left, he purchased a game and said, "I'm going to teach my kids." By the fourth meeting, he told me his own personal expenses were down, he had changed his spending habits and cut up several credit cards, and he was now taking an active interest in learning to invest and build his asset column. His thinking was now on track to make him an information age thinker. By the fifth meeting, he purchased Cashflow 202, which is the advanced game for people who have mastered the original Cashflow 101. He was now reading and eager to play the fast and risky game that true B's and I's play. The best news is that he had taken control of his financial future. He had re-educated himself not only mentally, but also, more importantly, emotionally, via the power of the repetitive learning process that comes from a game. Another way to become a B, business owner, is through franchises. Another way to learn about systems is to buy a franchise. When you buy a franchise, you are buying a tried and proven operating system. There are many excellent franchises. By buying the franchise system instead of trying to create your own, you can focus on developing your people. Buying the system removes one big variable when you are learning how to be a B, business owner. The reason many banks will loan money on a franchise and not to a small startup business is because the banks recognize the importance of systems and how starting with a good system will lower their risk. A word of caution if you buy a franchise. Please do not be an S, self-employed, who wants to do your own thing. If you buy a franchise system, be an E, employee. Just do it exactly the way they tell you to do it. Nothing is more tragic than the courtroom fights between franchisees and franchisors. The fights occur usually because the people who buy the system really want to do it their way, not the way the person who created the system wants it run. If you want to do your own thing, then do it after you've mastered both systems and people. The final way to become a B, business owner, is through network marketing, also called multi-level marketing or direct distribution systems. Just as with franchises, the legal system initially attempted to outlaw network marketing, and I know of some countries that have succeeded in outlawing or severely restricting it. After I began researching network marketing, I found that there were many people who were sincerely and diligently building successful network marketing businesses. When I met these people, I saw the impact that their businesses had on other people's lives and financial futures. I began to truly appreciate the value of the network marketing system. For a reasonable entry fee, often around $200, people can buy into an existing system and immediately start building their businesses. Due to the technological advances in the computer industry, these organizations are totally automated, and the headaches of paperwork, order processing, distribution, accounting, and follow-up are almost entirely managed by the network marketing software systems. New distributors can focus all their efforts in building their businesses through sharing this automated business opportunity instead of worrying about the normal startup headaches of small businesses. One of my old friends who did more than $1 billion in real estate in 1997 recently signed on as a network marketing distributor and began building his business. I was surprised to find him so diligently building a network marketing business because he definitely did not need the money. When I asked him why, he explained it this way. I went to school to become a CPA, and I have an MBA in finance. When people ask me how I became so rich, I tell them about the multi-million-dollar real estate transactions I do and the hundreds of thousands of dollars in passive income I receive each year from my real estate. I then notice that some of them withdraw or shy away. We both know that their chances of doing multi-million-dollar real estate investments like I do are slim to none. Besides not having the educational background, they do not have the extra capital to invest. So I began to look for a way I could help them achieve the same level of passive income I develop from real estate, without going back to school for 6 years and spending 12 years investing in real estate. I believe network marketing gives people the opportunity to build up the passive income they need for support while they learn to become professional investors. That is why I recommend network marketing to them. Even if they have little money, they can still invest sweat equity for 5 years and begin to generate more than enough passive income to begin investing. By developing their own businesses, they have the free time to learn and the capital to invest with me in my bigger deals. My friend is now doing as well in his network marketing business as in his investment business. He told me, "I did it initially because I wanted to help people find the money to invest, and now I'm getting rich from a whole new business." And that's why today I recommend people consider network marketing. Many famous franchises cost $1 million or more to buy. Network marketing is buying a personal franchise, often for less than $200. I know much of network marketing is hard work, but success in any quadrant is hard work. From my research into network marketing, I found two important things you can learn through their programs that are essential in becoming a successful business owner. To be successful, you need to learn to overcome your fear of being rejected and to stop worrying about what other people will say about you. So many times I've met people who hold themselves back simply because of what their friends might say if they did something different. I know, because I was the same way. And you need to learn to lead people. Working with different kinds of people is the hardest thing about business. The people I have met who are successful in any business are those who are natural leaders. The ability to get along and inspire people is a priceless skill, a skill that can be learned. Why don't you get a job? In 1985, my wife Kim and I were homeless. We were unemployed and had little money left from our savings. Our credit cards were exhausted, and we lived in an old brown Toyota with reclining seats that served as beds. At the end of 1 week, the harsh reality of who we were, what we were doing, and where we were headed began to sink in. Our homelessness lasted for another 2 weeks. A friend, when she realized our desperate financial situation, offered us a room in her basement. We lived there for 9 months. When friends and family were informed of our plight, the first question was always, "Why don't you get a job?" At first we attempted to explain, but in most instances we failed to clarify our reasons. To someone who values a job, it is difficult to explain why you might not want a job. Occasionally we did a few odd jobs and earned a few dollars here and there, but we did that only to keep food in our stomachs and gas in the car. I must admit that during moments of deep personal doubt, the idea of a safe, secure job with a paycheck was appealing. But because job security was not what we were looking for, we kept pushing on, living day to day, on the brink of the financial abyss. That year, 1985, was the worst of our lives, as well as one of the longest. Anyone who says that money isn't important obviously has not been without it for long. Kim and I fought and argued often. Fear, uncertainty, and hunger shortens the human emotional fuse, and often we fight with the person who loves us the most. Yet, love held the two of us together, and our bond as a couple grew stronger because of the adversity. We knew where we were going. We just did not know if we would ever get there. We knew we could always find a safe, secure, high-paying job. Both of us were college graduates with good job skills and solid work ethics. But we were not going for job security. We were going for financial freedom. In 1989, we were millionaires. Although financially successful in some people's eyes, we still had not reached our dreams. By then, we never had to work again for the rest of our lives. Barring any unforeseen financial disaster, we were both financially free. Kim was 37 and I was 47. It doesn't take money to make money. I often hear people say it takes money to make money. I disagree. We had no money when we started, and we were in debt. It also does not take a good formal education. Many successful people have left school without receiving a college degree. People such as Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Bill Gates, Ted Turner. So what does it take? My answer? It takes a dream, a lot of determination, a willingness to learn quickly, and the ability to use your God-given assets properly, and to know which sector of the cash flow quadrant to generate your income from. Which quadrant do you generate your income from? Rich Dad's cash flow quadrant represents the different methods by which income or money is generated. For example, an employee earns money by holding a job and working for someone else or a company. Self-employed people earn money working for themselves. A business owner owns a business that generates money, and investors earn money from their various investments. In other words, money generating more money. Different methods of income generation require different frames of mind, different technical skills, different educational paths, and different types of people. Different people are attracted to different quadrants. You can earn income in all four quadrants. Most of us have the potential to generate income from all four quadrants. Which quadrant you or I choose to earn our primary income from is not so much what we learned in school. It is more about who we are at the core, our core values, strengths, weaknesses, and interests. It is these core differences that attract us to or repel us from the four quadrants. For example, a medical doctor could choose to earn income as an employee and join the staff of a large hospital, or work for the government, the public health service, become a military doctor, or join the staff of an insurance company needing a doctor on its staff. The same doctor could also decide to earn income as an S, self-employed, and start a private practice, setting up an office, hiring staff, and building a private list of clients. Or the doctor could decide to become a B, business owner, and own a clinic or laboratory and have other doctors on staff. The doctor probably would hire a business manager to run the organization. In this case, the doctor would own the business but not have to work in it. The doctor could also decide to own a business that has nothing to do with the medical field while still practicing medicine somewhere else. In this case, the doctor would be earning income as both an E, employee, and as a B, business owner. As an I, investor, the doctor also could generate income from being an investor in someone else's business or in vehicles like the stock market, bond market, and real estate. The important words are generate income from. It is not so much what we do, but more how we generate income. More than anything, it is the internal differences of our core values, strengths, weaknesses, and interests that affect which quadrant we decide to generate our income from. Some people love being employees, while others hate it. Some people love owning companies but do not want to run them. Others love owning companies and also love running them. Certain people love investing, while others only see the risk of losing money. Most of us are a little of each of these characters. Being successful in the four quadrants often means redirecting some internal core values. Not all quadrants are equal. By knowing the different features of each quadrant, you'll have a better idea as to which quadrant or quadrants might be best for you. For example, one of the reasons I chose to work predominantly in the B, business owner, and I, investor quadrants, is because of tax advantages. For most people working on the left side of the quadrant, there are few legal tax breaks available. Yet, legal tax breaks abound on the right side of the quadrant. By working to generate income in these quadrants, I could acquire money faster and keep that money working for me longer without losing large chunks to pay taxes. When people ask why Kim and I were homeless back in 1985, I tell them it was because of what my rich dad taught me about money. For me, money is important, yet I did not want to spend my life working for it. That is why I did not want a job. If we were going to be responsible citizens, Kim and I wanted to have our money work for us rather than spend our lives physically working for money. That is why the cash flow quadrant is so important. It distinguishes between the different ways in which money is generated. There are ways of being responsible and creating money other than physically working for it. But in order to embrace wealth, it is essential to understand your relation to it. My highly educated dad had a strong belief that the love of money was evil, that to profit excessively meant you were greedy. He often said, "I'll never be rich," or "investing is risky," or "money isn't everything." My rich dad had a different point of view. He thought it foolish to spend your life working for money and pretend that money was not important. Rich dad believed that life was more important than money, but money was important for supporting life. He often said, "You only have so many hours a day, and you can only work so hard. So why work hard for money? Learn to have money, and people work hard for you, and you can be free to do the things that are important." To my rich dad, what was important was to have lots of time to raise his kids, to have money to donate to charities and projects he supported, to bring jobs and financial stability to the community, to have time and money to take care of his health, and to be able to travel the world with his family. "Those things take money," said Rich Dad. "That is why money is important to me. Money is important, but I don't want to spend my life working for it." It was my Rich Dad who often referred to the cash flow quadrant when I was a young boy. He would explain to me the difference between someone who was successful on the left side versus the right side. Having two dynamic and successful father figures around me gave meaning to what each was saying. But it was what they were doing that allowed me to begin to notice the differences between the ES side of the quadrant and the BI side. The 7 steps to finding your financial fast track. In step one, you need to mind your own business. Gather together your financial data, including your income, your expenses, your assets, and your liabilities. Get organized using a computer spreadsheet or just a simple piece of paper. By looking at your financial data, you can easily begin to see how you've been programmed from an early age to mind everyone else's business and ignore your own. Remember, your liabilities are your banker's business, while your assets are yours. In order to get where you want to go, you need to know where you are. This is the first step to take control of your life and spend more time minding your own business. Next, set financial goals. Set a long-term financial goal for where you want to be in 5 years, and a smaller, short-term financial goal for where you want to be in 12 months. The smaller goal is a stepping stone along the way to your 5-year goal. Be sure your goals are realistic and attainable. For instance, try to cut your debt by a specific amount while increasing your cash flow from assets or passive income. When you establish your 5-year financial goals, do the same thing but take the long view. Now that you know where you are financially today and have set your goals, you need to get control of your cash flow so that you can achieve your goals. Step 2. Take control of your cash flow. After deciding to mind your own business, the next step as the CEO of the business of your life is to take control of your cash flow. The primary reason most people have money problems is that they were never schooled in the science of cash flow management. People work very hard, thinking that more money will solve their financial problems. But as my rich dad often said, more money will not solve the problem if cash flow management is the problem. When you review your financial statements, determine which quadrant of the cash flow quadrant you receive your income from today. Then, determine which quadrant you want to receive the bulk of your income from in 5 years. At this point, you can begin establishing your cash flow management plan. Here are some rules. Pay yourself first. Put aside a set percentage from each paycheck or each payment you receive from other sources. Deposit that money into an investment savings account. Once your money goes into the account, never take it out until you are ready to invest it. Also, focus on reducing your personal debt. If you have credit cards with outstanding balances, cut up all your credit cards except for one or two. Any new charges you add to the one or two cards you now have must be paid off every month. Do not incur any further long-term debt. Then come up with $150 to $200 extra per month. Now that you're becoming more and more financially literate, this should be relatively easy to do. If you cannot generate an additional $150 to $200 per month, then your chances for financial freedom may only be a pipe dream. You will now pay the minimum plus the $150 to $200 on that one credit card. Pay only the minimum amount due on all other credit cards. Once the first card is paid off, then apply the total amount you were paying each month on that card to your next credit card. You are now paying the minimum amount due on the second card plus the total monthly payment you were paying on your first credit card. Continue this process with all your credit cards and other consumer credit, such as store charges, etc. With each debt you pay off, apply the full amount you were paying on that debt to the minimum payment of your next debt. As you pay off each debt, the monthly amount you are now paying on the next debt will escalate. Once all your credit cards and other consumer debt is paid off, continue the procedure with your car and house payments. If you follow this procedure, you will be amazed at the shortened amount of time it takes for you to be completely debt-free. Most people can be debt-free within 5 to 7 years. Now that you are completely debt-free, take the monthly amount you were paying on your last debt and put that money towards investments. Build your asset column. That's how simple it is. Step 3. Know the difference between risk and risky. I often hear people saying investing is risky. I disagree. Instead, I say being uneducated is risky. To my rich dad, to spend your life working hard for money only to have it go out as fast as it comes in is not a sign of high intelligence. Due to the lack of financial intelligence, many educated people will put themselves into positions of high financial risk. My rich dad called it financial redline, meaning income and expenses are nearly the same every month. These are the people who cling desperately to job security, are unable to change when the economy changes, and often destroy their health with stress and worry. And these are often the same people who say, business and investing is risky. In my opinion, business and investing is not risky. Being undereducated is. Similarly, being misinformed is risky, and relying on a safe, secure job is the highest risk anyone can take. Buying an asset is not risky. Buying liabilities you have been told are assets is risky. Minding your own business is not risky. Minding everyone else's business and paying them first is risky. As I said, the transition from the left quadrant to the right quadrant is not so much what you do, but whom you have to become. Learn how to handle rejection, how not to be affected by what other people think of you, and learn to lead people.